on Toxic Brother, looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from CO to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for March 11th. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and with me today is Bobby. How you doing, Bobby?
I'm good, Taryn. Good to be back with you. Another season of Big Brother Canada. Very excited to watch the very first week of this season, and it's been good so far. Been nonstop entertaining, so I'm looking forward to the chat with you, man.
Yes, should be an interesting update here. Of course, I'm here to tell you about everything that happened yesterday on the Big Brother Canada 8 live feeds. It was day 11 in the house, and it was a doozy. A lot of stuff.
That's for sure.
A lot of stuff went down. We had a 3-hour roundtable last night, which took place during some of the nonsense that happened. And so I had a lovely night and morning.
I can only imagine. You guys were probably pretty busy all night last night.
Yeah. So we're gonna walk you through it all. Now, honestly, I like to go into a ton of detail in these updates. But like when I was looking at the day and I was looking at my notes for the first half of the day, I was like, none of this is even relevant anymore. Like it's already not even relevant anymore. You're going to get all the necessary stuff here, but maybe just a little bit less detailed so we can get into some of the more fun parts as well, and not have this one be 3 hours. So let's go ahead and talk about the day. Now, we did have the start of the day. There's a lot of campaigning happening from Michael, Maddie, and Ree in particular, that they are trying to go after some of the votes that they consider to be swing votes. Angie, Carol, Min, Hira, Jamar. They're trying to get those people. They feel like if they can get those people, then they'll have enough and they'll be able to get Michael to survive the vote. So Ree is going to go and campaign to Angie and talk about all the regular campaign talking points. Again, Ree talking strategy is kind of like just, I don't know, watch. It's like, you know how your eyes need to constantly shift in order to continue to actually see things because your brain will just ignore things that are stationary. Ree's like that stationary thing, like where she's just such a basic player that is social and just talks basic strategy that you sometimes don't even see her there.
It's very true. Very true. She just kind of blends into the background.
Yeah. And so that's what she's doing here with Angie. Angie wasn't a fan of the campaign. She's annoyed that she's being campaigned to. She's later going to say that, oh man, I just had to like listen to her talk. And then she is also going to say that she wants to do everything she can to protect Brooke, that she is very firmly on the keeping Brooke train. It's not really a train though. It's more of like they're just hanging out. The other one's a train and it's a one that is often crashing. We also saw Min talking to Brooke in the morning. Now, if you recall in the previous day, where we left off was that obviously, you know, Chris has just backdoored Michael and the votes should be there to take out Michael, but Vanessa has turned on Kyle. Min is against Kyle, Carol is against Kyle, and Hira wants to work with the four and keep Michael. So if you count all of those votes, there is 7 votes that could be there to evict Brooke if Min, Vanessa, and Carol are on board. And where we left off yesterday is that Min had a conversation with Michael late into the night, talked to the cameras, and said that Michael wants to go after Kyle. She really wants Kyle out. And I was saying that I felt like the percentages were perhaps something like 70-30 at this point instead of the 95-5% that they were before. And so Min is having a conversation now with Brooke where she's basically saying, yeah, Michael's pitch is that he's going after Kyle and Chris. And I mean, that's kind of an okay pitch. She says, yeah, I talked to him last night. It's a little too late, but that is the pitch. And Brooke actually made a pretty convincing argument against it, which is that's great. It's great that they're going after Kyle. Great that they're going after Chris, but you don't need Michael to stay for that. You still have three other people who will still continue to go after him after this vote. And if you take Michael out, then you're getting to weaken that group. Plus, they're still going after Chris and Kyle. I mean, if you think about it, that's best of all worlds here, Bobby.
Oh, yeah. Best of all worlds for them. It honestly, at this point, getting rid of Michael is their best option. It was exactly what they're looking for to move further in this game, and it's going to weaken that side of the house. So as far as at this point, this is what they want to do, and this is the plan they see best.
Yes. They are also going to talk a bit about past seasons. Brooke says her favorite Big Brother Canada seasons were 2 and 5. So pretty good call there.
Yeah.
She also talks about why she respects Min as a person. They've been through similar things in life, she feels, and that she actually thinks that Min can do well in this game. That things are looking up for her, and she says, Min, chaos is a ladder in this game, and you really work well with chaos. So, maybe you can work this.
Yeah, chaos is Min's specialty, and as far as her going further in the game, hey, maybe it'll be to her benefit, but right now that's what Brooke needs right now, is for the chaos to be elsewhere, not on her.
Yeah. So Min is going to, the next conversation we get to here is that Hira is going to campaign to Angie and Carol. I saw this group of people on the feeds, on the other, the other two cameras. And I was like, I don't think I've ever seen these three people by themselves talking game before the whole time. Hira, Angie, and Carol. And Hira is basically pitching that they should keep Michael around so that he and his crew go after Kyle. Angie, like I said, not really about it, but she kind of gives it lip service and then bounces. But Carol seems to be a little more receptive to it. Rhi is also going to pitch to Carol, and Carol is going to once again be receptive. It does seem like she's considering this idea of potentially taking out Brooke. Now, remember, I've talked about how Carol dislikes Brooke because of that past history that she says she can relate to Min about, which I don't know how Min feels about this, but I guess Carol doesn't really portray it in that way. She just says she's a liar. Brooke's a liar. Carol kind of wants Brooke gone. And so she's really considering these pitches. And there's going to be a lot of pitches. There's multiple very long, segments of Michael, Maddie, Rhi, all campaigning to Min. And she's kind of considering her options. She's very much hearing them out. She really, really does want to potentially keep them in to go after Kyle. But in particular, they're telling her, we already have Hira. We already have Jamar. We've got Carol. So if you're on board, then we're good. We can make this happen. And it can work, and we'll go after Kyle, and it'll be great. And Min is kind of drawn in by this. She's like, well, I mean, if you have all those people, I mean, yeah, I think we can make this work. I think we can make something happen.
Yeah, and back to your original point, this group was such a strange group to see together. Like, I'm completely on board with you where I would have never seen these people talking game in the same room alone. Like, unless there's other people starting this conversation, this was a strange group to see. Now, I'm all for it. I would love to see this going forward, see them be able to work together if that's in any capacity possible. But we'll see if that's something that is truly going to be able to work out down the road. But yeah, as far as your point, I completely agree with you. It's one of those things where I feel like the wheels are starting to turn. They're starting to figure out that there is a possible plan that could be working towards that other goal of being able to go against Kyle's wishes. But it's only later that we see if it works out or not.
Mm-hmm. So Jamar is going to talk a bit with Vanessa and Angie. It's another weird combination here, but Angie is kind of pitching that, hey, why do we have to pick a side? Why don't we just make a middle group? Why don't we just, the people in the middle come together, form a group together so that we don't have to be on the bottom of either side. We have our own group. And let them fight it out. Vanessa's just like, I don't know. I feel like the people in the middle never win. They're like the floaters. And, you know, like every winner of the game, except for a couple, are like, excuse me? People in the middle never win? I think that's exactly where you want to be, but not yeah. super surprising coming from Vanessa.
Yeah, exactly. Vanessa, because that's her game. She's playing the middle. She's hearing everyone's sides, and but also, you know, going to the people that she's closest aligned to and telling them what's happening and what the plans are. So that's exactly Vanessa's game. That's exactly the game that she wants to play, is play the middle. So well, she doesn't want other people to play that.
I know. I think it is her game, but she doesn't like it and she wants out.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, no, I don't think she wants that, but she keeps going around to different people and they all trust her. Like, everyone wants to work with her at a certain point. And I feel like that's exactly the game she's playing. It might not be the game she wants, but it's exactly the game she's playing. So I also don't think she wants other people playing that game either.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think this was a very telling comment from her, because we've been constantly perplexed by Vanessa's actions in the game. And I think that, like, her disdain for people that play the middle kind of is maybe an indication that she has a disdain for her own game. And then that is why she is trying to wreck it.
Do you think she's even realized it yet, that she's like there and she knows it? Like, I feel like at times I feel like she knows she's playing the middle, and then other times I feel like, well, maybe she's not fully aware yet that no, she's playing that middle
yeah
spot.
The problem is that she doesn't think that there's a lot of problems with Vanessa's game. So Angie of course disagrees. The people in the middle, they can win, and they're not floaters.
Which is Jamar, what a floater would say.
Yeah, Jamar has a conversation with Min, and they both agree that Kyle needs to go. Min is kind of considering this idea of flipping the vote. Jamar, he'd kind of prefer not to. He's good with Shell, and he doesn't want to weaken Sheldon. But he doesn't say that to Min. He says that to some other people, though. But he says, you know what? It doesn't really matter which one goes, because we're all still going after Kyle. So whichever one is best for us, it'll work out. It'll be fine. There's also a lot of kissing that happens throughout the day between these two.
Yeah, a lot of back and forth on that. I think that Kyle is really putting this big, big target, and as we'll see later, he's putting this big, big target on his back, and for unnecessary reasons, he's really working hard really early in this game. And I get he wants to push his agenda, but I feel like people are really picking up on it, up at it at this point of the game and at this point of the day, and it's starting to really get steam.
Mm-hmm. So Min is going to then go to Carol, and they have a long conversation about the vote, which the feed's cut for. But luckily for us, they come back just in time for Carol to say, what a great talk, Min. I'm so glad I'm very clear on where you stand on all of this.
Yeah, really gave us all the info we needed to hear about the topic.
Yeah, we eventually learn a little bit later, because Carol then goes and talks with Vanessa and starts talking about the vote and how Michael is against Kyle, but Brooke is not. They talk about Brooke and they talk about Kyle, about Michael. Vanessa says, we might have to flip this vote. And Carol says, I want to. And Vanessa's like, well, we'd have to get Min on board. And she says, Min wants to. She was just talking to me about it. She says she wants to flip the vote. And at this point, it was pretty clear. All the votes are there. All the votes are lined up. Hira is on board. Min, Vanessa, and Carol. The exact situation that I described yesterday is now in play. All of them want to go ahead and do this. All it takes is for them to get together one time, discuss it, and agree. But that's going to be a little bit tricky, because finally, Brooke, Sheldon, and Sue are going to get together with Hira. And Jamar is involved in as well. And they come together into the pantry. They've been trying to solidify this group, that this alliance of Hira, Brooke, Sheldon, and Sue has been a thing, but they kind of let it slide. And they've been told that he feels left out. And so they're trying to reel him back in and solidify some kind of group with him. And so they try to make this happen. They don't even realize how unbelievably crucial this is. Mm-hmm. And this moment right here might be the thing that saves Brooke from being evicted this week, if mm-hmm. she does end up staying. And so they talk in that pantry. But Jamar and Hira are mostly concerned about Kyle. They're like, well, but we're going after Kyle, right? And Jamar says, I'm going after, it doesn't matter. Hira says, I'm going after him, it doesn't matter what you guys say. Brooke and Sheldon, not really taking the hint very well. They continue to make logical cases for why Kyle is good for their games. And their arguments are very sound and completely correct, that Kyle is not coming for Hira. He's not coming for Jamar. He's focused on other people. He's a big bull in a china shop. Let him rampage around. It won't affect us. Somebody will take him out eventually. We don't have to be the ones to do it. Let other people deal with him, and we all benefit. It's a great logical argument. The problem is it falls completely flat with Hira and Jamar, who don't care about the logical argument. They don't like the guy. They want him gone. And Brooke and Sheldon are having a hard time hearing that and realizing that they kind of just need to accept it. Especially right now when Brooke is on the block. Now, again, the problem is that they think they have the votes. They think that they are in a comfortable position and that they don't need to worry. And so that they don't need to lie to people and make false promises and pretend to be on board with taking Kyle out or whatever it is. They feel like they're in a comfortable enough position that they can play and be reserved a little bit and not have to do that and actually argue their case here. But the problem is, and we talked about this last night on the roundtable, that is not the game you should be playing on all cylinders at all times. If they really, really want Kyle gone, then you need to tell them right now, yes, I agree. Let's get Kyle gone. We saw this work with the Pretty Boys. Mm-hmm. They'd constantly be like, yeah, definitely. We'll make that happen. But when it came down to it, they'd be like, I don't know. Because it doesn't always come down to it. That's the thing that I think Sheldon in particular needs to realize, that he was arguing for Maddie to use the veto before Maddie won the veto. And now he's arguing for Jamar and Hira to not go after Kyle before Jamar and Hira have won the HOH to go after Kyle. And so he's doing a lot of work that doesn't need to be done, and he's not doing a lot of work that does need to be done. That's causing some issues. However, this conversation was still very good for them because they were able to get past this Kyle thing and talk with Hira and say, let's solidify this. Let's make this happen. I really want to work with you. We should really work together. And Hira is agreeing. He says, okay, you know what? I'm down. If I'm with you guys, I'm with you guys to the end. And this is a little bit more from Hira than I even expected, but I think he's realizing that he's in a kind of cushy spot, and that if they want to work with him over here and the others want to work with him over here, then you know what? Maybe there's not as much of a pressing need to flip a vote and stick his neck out.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. It is such a crucial conversation that they may or may not be aware how crucial it was. The fact that they met with Hira and talked to him about this and said, going forward, we want to work with you, we need you, that spoke volumes to Hira. And you could tell that he was like, okay, I can see this working. I can see where this, you know, path can lie and how we can get through the game together. So this is where it started to really work out in Brooke's favor. And to go back to your previous point, they need to let him go, let Kyle go. If he is a sinking ship, go on board. You might not vote that way, or you might not game that way, but right now it's week one. It's week one. And if he's a sinking ship, totally go on the board of saying, yes, you know, we're going to get rid of him too. Yeah, he's a sinking ship. He's being so all over the place. He's being a hothead. No, we're going to let him go. it might not be in your best interest to let that happen. It might not be in your best interest to go that way with your game. But you don't have to say that. You can just say, yes, I'm totally on board with you. I totally agree where you're coming from. And that's exactly to your point. That's what the Pretty Boys did well. They were able to say, yes, no, we'll make those moves. We'll take that person out. And it might not have worked out in their best, you know, efforts, but and they didn't go through with it, but they at least said it to get by to the next week. And I feel like that's where Sheldon is really suffering here in his game. Is he needs to be able to understand that you need to be a yes man. You need to tell them what they want to hear and then move on to another topic. But as far as Brooke staying this week, that was a huge, huge part of the cog to be able to keep her. And like you said, they may or may not know how crucial it was.
Yeah. And I will say, I don't necessarily think that Kyle Sheldon should jump from the Kyle ship. I think that Kyle is still an incredibly valuable piece for Sheldon on the board, but he should be willing to pretend that he has jumped from the Kyle ship.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah,
exactly.
Act like he's, you know, a dead man walking, but don't vote that way. Don't game that way, but just say it to the right people to make them feel like you're on board.
Yes. And again, something that the Pretty Boys did well, and Anthony in particular, is that when things like this happened, Anthony would be on top of it, and he would go and he would say, if Hira and Jamar were talking about wanting to go after Kyle, if this was Anthony, Anthony would have gone to Kyle and said, Kyle, here's what I need you to do. I need you to go to Hira and Jamar, and I need you to tell them these things. And then Anthony would go to Hira and Jamar and prime them to say, with like, you know, I'm with you. Kyle's dangerous. If only he believed these things. And then he'd go to Kyle and he'd say these things. And then Kyle would go to them and he'd say those things. And then they'd be like, wow, maybe Kyle's not as bad as we thought. And then they'd talk with Anthony again, and Anthony would be like, oh, wow, that's surprising. I'm glad he feels that way. Maybe we can make something work with Kyle. And then he'd be able to mend those fences, and he wouldn't have to make it his thing, right? It wouldn't be on Anthony, and Anthony would have no blood in his hands. And that's like, Grant, of course, not everyone is Anthony. But yeah. I mean, Sheldon and Brooke watched last season, right? Like, maybe they were too bored. Maybe they didn't like the season enough, and so they didn't study the games because they're not good enough at watching the show as the people who did like Big Brother Canada 7. But they saw that, right? Like, they should realize that is the way to go about handling things, not just trying to like just statically be like, I don't think we should though. So.
Yeah, completely agree. That's where their game suffers, is they need to be more flexible in that way.
Mm-hmm. All right. So Min is then going to go and talk with Hira and Jamar, and she is now fully on board. We're flipping the vote. She asks them, like, what do you guys think about the voting, right? Like, are we going to do something? And Jamar immediately is like, nah. Nobody's doing that. We're voting to keep Brooke. That's what the whole house is doing. It's going to be a 9-3 vote. Hira's like, yeah, you know, I'm not going to stick my neck out for no reason, basically. Hira still very much willing to vote out Brooke, but again, not as like you can see earlier in the day, Hira was very pressed to make this happen. He was actively campaigning to other people, trying to make Brooke go home. After this conversation with Brooke and Sheldon, his motivation has slackened, right? He doesn't need it as much because he does feel like, okay, I am with Sheldon. They do want to work with me. And so in this conversation, he does not feel the need to really press it as he was before. And so he just kind of says, yeah, you know, if nobody else is, I'm not sticking my neck out or anything like that. And this is news to Min, who's like, oh my God, I didn't realize you guys weren't on board. Okay. Well, we'll keep Brooke, but we're still going after Kyle. Right. And they're like, yes, absolutely. We're still going after Kyle. And so this surprises Min. She goes and she talks to Carol and she says, Hira and Jamar are not on board, not nearly at the level that Michael and Maddie were saying. They lied to me. They tricked me. I told them a bunch of stuff in that campaign conversation because I thought that Jamar and Hira were down for it, but they're not. And if they're both not on board, then we don't have the numbers. And Carol's like, oh, do you think maybe they were just saying that, though, in front of you, and that maybe they are on board, but they weren't, you know, comfortable saying that they were. And Min's like, I don't know, maybe, but they just don't seem very sure about this, right? So so Min is now much less on board with this.
Yeah.
And so she goes and she talks to Jamar alone and she asks him, like what is where are you on this vote? And he says, we're voting to keep Brooke. I'm telling you, nobody's voting to evict Brooke. It's the whole house is doing this. We need to keep Brooke. I mean, I don't care, but that's what the house is doing. We're still going after Kyle next week. It doesn't matter. Kyle's still, he's still a goner. Don't worry about it. And Min's like, okay, I got that. She says, okay, I have an idea then. What if I go to Maddie and I tell her you don't have the votes? Right. And I'm like, oh, man, it's a shame we don't have the votes. And then like I win her over after Michael leaves. And Jamar says, good idea, but you should wait to do that. Wait until like the last minute. She's like, okay.
So. Yeah. It very much so trying to win Min over. But I don't know how well that'll work out for him. I think Min has a mind of her own. She'll be able to decide what she wants to decide. But I don't know if it'll work out.
Yeah. So, like I said, all of those votes are there to evict Brooke. However, it's been shut down. It's one of those situations where it's like, I don't know, like all the pieces for the electricity to work are there, but it just needed a spark. Yeah. Somebody was on their way with the spark, but they tripped and fell. And so they were late. And then all of the pieces for the electricity were like, man, the spark person is late. I wonder, this probably just isn't happening. Let's bounce before somebody catches us. Right. Then by the time the spark person got there, some of the pieces were gone, and then they were like, oh, this is not as many pieces as I thought. We can't make this happen. And so they left. But all of those pieces are still around somewhere. They just need to come together to make it happen. And this house is so crazy that it very much could still happen, but there's still plenty to talk about that happened over the course of the day yesterday that might make it a little more difficult, at least. But again, we'll see.
I love your analogy. It's always the best.
That one was really out there. I'm sorry, guys. Min is going to go to Vanessa. Vanessa's asking about the flip. Min says it's not happening. The votes aren't there. They were lying about having the votes. And you know what? They were talking about you. Like, I'm trying to tell them that you aren't attached to Kyle at the hip, but they still want to go after you. And so it's probably not the best idea for us to keep them in the game. Vanessa is going to go to Carol, and they both talk about how it's probably not happening. They also talk about Min. And if you were wondering who Vanessa trusts, Min or Kyle, the answer is none of the above. She says, I don't trust Min, but she brings us a lot of great information. So let's keep working that. So that's where Vanessa's head is at. Maybe.
Truly, Min's doing exactly what she needs to do right now. She's talking to the right people. I feel like she's got to get the target a little more off of her back, and other people are presenting themselves. So, I kind of feel like she's not doing a bad spot here by giving the information that she's giving.
Yeah, I mean, it's working out so far.
It totally backfired. Don't get me wrong; it totally backfired.
Yeah. So Michael is so Min goes to Michael. And she really takes Jamar's advice to heart, and she waits like a whole half hour before telling Michael, you don't have the votes. It's not happening. Sorry, people are lying to you. The votes aren't there. You gotta do something. You gotta make it real clear that you're against Kyle, and that you gotta like blow up in front of the house or something. Like, just really, like, you gotta make something happen here, because you don't have the votes. If you wanna stay, you gotta make something happen. So Michael's like, all right. Basically, and he gets into a bit of a confrontation with Chris in the kitchen at first here. And this is now taking place while the roundtable is going on. And so I actually missed this confrontation at first, and I only heard the aftermath, them talking about it after the fact. And honestly, I thought it was much worse than it ended up being, but but it still was pretty entertaining. So Michael and Chris start getting into it. Same stuff with Chris. Oh, I can't believe you lied, Chris. Why are you such a liar? Chris says, if I had told you before, would it have mattered? And Michael's like, it's about courtesy. It's about courtesy. Chris is like, what? Come on, man. This is my first time playing Big Brother. I don't know how it works. I don't know what the courtesy is.
I'm still figuring it out, man. Come on.
And Michael's like, this is my first time playing Big Brother too. So, I mean, but I'm still a human being. I still know how to be courteous. And so they're going on with that. But then Kyle comes in, because this is very, very public in the kitchen. Kyle comes in, he sits down. He goes, everything good here, gentlemen? And Michael says, you know what? Yeah, I feel good with you, buddy. I feel good with you. You swore on your kids that you will vote for me and campaign for me. So I'm sure that's completely how things are going to go. And Kyle says, all right, well, look, I need to tell you something. He's like, oh, yeah, here it is. Here it is. Look, I've heard that your campaign is about me and throwing me under the bus. No, that's not true. That's not true. Come Michael, I've heard Carol told me that you were telling her about things that I was saying. And he's like, no. That is not part of my campaign. That is me just being a good human, telling people about things that they should know about you. That is not a campaign, Kyle. Kyle's like, okay, can you let me finish? Can you let me finish? Okay. So, I did promise you. Oh, yes, you did promise. Can you just let me finish, please? Please. I did promise you. I promised on my family that I would vote to keep you. If I could. No. You promised that you would vote to keep me. He's like, but look, let me finish. You have been going around campaigning to try to get me out of the game. You're telling you people that you're going to come after me. And Michael says, no, that is not true. That is not true. He's like, dude, come on. People have told me everything that you've said. It's like, no. That's only because you said that you wouldn't vote for me. And before that, I wasn't saying those things, but now I am only saying those things because you told Maddie that you would only vote for me if it was a split vote. And so this is something that happened a little bit earlier that Kyle had been talking to Maddie and he was telling her that, I will vote with you guys. If you guys have six votes, I will be your seventh, but I'm not going to vote for somebody if the house is against it and the votes aren't there. And so Maddie was actually very excited about this, at first. But now it is being used as an excuse for why they were campaigning against Kyle, which they already were campaigning against Kyle before that moment. This is how these kinds of arguments go. People just really get hung up on points that aren't even true. So
great reenactment, my friend. You're doing great.
Thank you. So Michael says the only reason I'm doing that is because you told Maddie about the flip vote. Kyle says, yeah, of course. Look, I'm not going to stick my neck out for you if you don't have the votes. I don't know what you want me to do. You promised on your kids. You promised on your kids. And he's like, dude. Your campaign is based on you trying to get my vote so you can put me on the block next week. And Michael says, no, I never even wanted your vote. I don't even want it. And I'm trying really hard. I'm trying to get the right amount of wine in my voice for Michael. And it's hard for, I'm sorry. I never even wanted your vote. No, it's not. He's got like a, no, dude, I never even wanted your vote, man. That's it. I found it. Okay.
There you go.
I never even wanted your vote. And Kyle's like, dude, you don't have the votes. I'm sorry. You don't have the votes. I talked to two people, and JL's like, two people? Michael's like, yeah, two people? There's 16 people in the house, man.
There's like a little mixture of JL in there. I can hear it a little bit in your
reaction. And he's like, dude, you don't have the votes. You're going home, man. And Michael's just like, you know what though? You're trying to run. You're going to run the whole house. You're going to run the whole house. And you know, we had a deal, man. We had a deal, and we were going to take each other to jury. And JL's like, yeah, we want a jury with you, man. And Kyle's like, yeah, we did that. So, and then Jamar just kind of randomly jumps in like, hey, am I in jury? They're like, what? He's like, am I in jury with you too? They both simultaneously, Michael and JL, they're like, yeah, you're in jury too, man. I don't know what that was about.
No, that conversation totally threw me for a loop as well. Like I was saying, this is great impressions that you're doing because you're hitting it the nail on the head. But Michael is just really digging his grave at this point. It's just solidifying that he will be the one going home unless something crazy happens. This is a conversation that could have been used to his benefit and really was turned against him by people who I think are savvier players to really bury his game.
Yeah, I do apologize for not getting the Michael eyebrows correct. I'm really trying to focus on the voice. It continues. Michael continues to go at him. He's like, you're trying to play the whole house, man. And you're trying to do all this stuff and you're lying to everyone. You're lying. You're going to run the whole thing. And I'm going to make sure that everybody knows what you are and who you are. And you lied and you promised on your family. And Kyle is just now at this point just being like, okay, man, all right, yep, okay, anything else? And I was like, how do you feel, man? I feel great. Well, I, you know what, I'm comfortable leaving this game knowing what I said is what I felt, okay? And I'm sorry for your wife and kids. They have to see this because it's disgraceful. It's disappointing. And Kyle's just like, man, it's season 8, Mike. Learn how to play.
Honestly, I love that he's trying to pull the, your wife and kids card. Like at a certain point, you got to realize it's just not going to work on some people. I feel like if I went in there, I wouldn't be swearing up and down on my wife and kids if I, you know, had them at that point and I was in the game. But at the same time, I wouldn't be hurt by the fact that people would be using that against me. I'd be like, yeah, so like, it doesn't matter. They still like me outside the house. So the fact that he's pulling this card and it's not working just shows that, you know, they're really maintaining their firm stance on this game.
Yeah. They kind of start to drift away, but then they come back and they continue again. And then Brooke eventually chimes in. She's just like, guys, I don't think either of you are here or have anything more constructive to say. So I think that you should both take a breather. This is going nowhere. And that kind of shames them into like going like, oh. And Michael just gets one more. He's like, disappointed, Kyle. That's all I am. And Kyle's like, all right, bro. All right. That's it then. Butter me up next time. And that's it. Ding, ding, ding.
I had to get that last word in, huh?
That's it. That's all. This was disastrous for Michael for now.
Yes.
His arguments were terrible. And the moralizing, we're going to find out later, definitely is hurting his case with some crucial swing votes. And This is exactly what Kyle needed. He thought he was still in control of the house. He thought he can continue to operate the way he was. Somebody, for his game, he needed a wake-up call, and Michael gave it to him. He publicly went at Kyle in a way where now everybody sees that Kyle is being attacked and that Kyle has these faults and he's been lying, and it's giving Kyle an opportunity to go around and apologize for swearing on his kids and his wife. Apologize for being so aggressive. And honestly, I really feel like Kyle is in a better spot in his game right now because of this confrontation. And we'll find out just how much better it is. But it's definitely an improvement. We'll see how much of an improvement. So Kyle's going to go around. He apologizes to Brooke for getting so heated. And this is what I saw. I saw all the apologies afterward, and he was like, I'm so sorry. Like, I really just got into it, and I shouldn't have let it get that far. And I was like, oh my God, did Kyle like, you know, beef up? Did he like go crazy macho man or something? But it really was, he really was just like kind of forcefully making a case. So like, not to say that it wasn't scary and aggressive to the people around him, because he's a scary and aggressive guy, but I expected much more given the apologies. But when I went back to watch it, but yeah, he's going around, he's apologizing. Sheldon is basically telling him like, man, I love Sheldon. Every season there's like one guy, man, who goes out pre-jury every time, who thought he was running the house. And I just don't want that to be you. I just, you need to start to chill. You need to start to lay a little bit lower. You know, I don't want to lose you yet. And so, Kyle's like, yeah, I hear you, man. I hear you, Shell. And he's like, and listen, I could care less. I couldn't care less. I don't care if you swear on your kids, your family. It doesn't matter. You know, you do what you got to do. All right. And Kyle's just like, I love you, man. So
yeah, Sheldon made some great points in that conversation. Like, he really needs, I think it was really sinking in Kyle that he needs to definitely lay low going forward, because his game is out there. People know about it. People know how aggressive he is and how much of a, frantic player he is on what pushing his agenda. So I feel like this was a good wake up call. And like we said, this was supposed to work out in Michael's favor, this entire conversation. And really, it just benefited Kyle. It was a huge benefit to Kyle's game to make him realize what he's doing wrong, make him realize, okay, I need to go on an apology tour. And then the fact that Sheldon was able to go to him. And it would have been one thing if Sheldon would have gone to him and said this without the fight happening, without all this realization coming forward to Kyle. But, and it might not have sunk in, but the fact that he did realize the rest of the house is listening to this, maybe this is how other people feel, I think it really sank home for him.
Yeah, I mean, I say it all the time that the worst thing for you in the game is when there are negative things out there, floating out there about you that you don't know and that the house doesn't know. Like, the best thing that you can do for your game, if you have been exposed or if people think you're a liar, if people have any negative opinion about you, is to get it out in the open. Because once it's out in the open, it's vulnerable. Ideas and opinions, when hidden, are protected. It's why people don't like to express opinions, because it makes them feel vulnerable, because people can now attack the opinion or even just talk about the opinion, and perhaps it will change if it's out there and people can talk about it. And so if these things come out into the open, it allows them to be changed. And that is the opportunity that Kyle has right now. And like I said, it's definitely some benefit, some positive. It's up to Kyle and how the other people continue to view this situation to see how positive it is. Now we are going to take a quick break for our sponsors, and we'll be right back. And we're back. So let's get back to the show. So Maddie is also going to then have a confrontation with Chris up in the HOH room. It's very similar to all of the other confrontations that they've had so far, where she's just talking about how much of a liar he is and why he lied to her and why he thinks that they can be friends after he did that to her. And, you know, I can't believe I've never seen so much lying in week one of the show before. These people are so bad. Chris just continues to like Chris just, he gets broken sometimes, and he can just only repeat the same things over and over. So like she's saying these things and Chris is just like, Maddie, sweetheart, everyone knew. Everyone knew. She's like, I don't care. It's, you lied to me. Everyone knew though. Everyone was in on it. I'm not dumb, dear. You have to, you think I'm a smart guy. You think I would have done something without everyone knowing? She's like,
you're getting the eyes correct on that
okay,
one.
Okay. you know what? Min didn't know. I saw her. She was so shocked. And he goes, sweetheart. She says, what? Everyone knew. It's like, no, Min did not know. I saw her face. She did not know. Dear, can I trust you? Can I trust you? Yeah, you can trust me. That's exactly what you want to hear. If you ask someone if they can trust you, yeah, you can trust me. it's very affirmative response.
Very much so.
Yeah. People are lying to you, dear. It was Min's idea in the first place to you. Let me just say I was not the one that came up with all of the ideas. That's what I'm going to say. And Maddie's just like, all right, great. Great. I guess we'll talk later, Chris. And she just leaves. And she goes right to Min and she says, Min, now Chris is blaming you and saying that you were the mastermind of this whole plan. And Min, who has been lying about this, is like, oh, so I'm the scapegoat again. Continuing to deny. And Maddie's like, yeah, he's such a liar. He's such a liar. I don't believe him. I saw your face. You were so surprised. There's no way that you knew. And Min is just like, yeah, method acting. Yes. So Maddie is completely believes that Chris is selling her down some complete lie and that this is not true. And he's just trying to get her to turn on Min. So she tells Min, and now Min is pissed at Chris, right, for outing her. So she goes and she gets into the HOH room to try and confront Chris about this. But there's some people in there. Kyle and Vanessa are in there as well. As she does this, she says, Chris, did you tell Maddie that I was behind the whole plan to use me as the decoy backdoor? He goes, no, I just said that everybody knew. That's what I've been saying. Everybody knew, because people are saying that nobody knew, but people are lying, but everybody did know. She's like, you didn't say that it was my idea. He's like, no, I just said that everybody knew. She's like, oh my God, I'm so annoyed at Maddie for she's trying to get a rise out of me. And so we've got like a little bit of like a rock, paper, scissors situation where,
yeah.
Chris is telling Maddie the truth, who doesn't believe Chris. Maddie is telling, Min the truth. And believes Min when Min lies, but Min doesn't believe Maddie when Maddie is telling the truth about Chris, and Min goes to Chris and believes Chris when he lies about what he told Maddie. And so, it's a big, big little circle of nobody believes the right thing.
Exactly. It paper, rock, scissors is exactly a great way to put it. But yeah, and I can't stand the way Chris talks to some of these women in this house, like the, oh, sweetie and honey. It's just getting to the point where I'm like, man, come on. Like, let's be real. Like, this isn't back in the day times anymore. We're not talking. No one talks like that anymore. So it really frustrates me to see that. But as far as the gameplay talk, they're just going in circles at this point. These three need to almost stay away from each other because it's just really not going to sink in for anyone because they're giving misinformation and at the same time giving truths. No one's believing anything that's going on.
Oh, sweetie. You think that you can just say that? Oh,
honey, come on.
I'm saying sweetie to my, give it a rest, sweetheart. Come on.
It's really gross. It's really disgusting. Like, I hate it so
yeah,
much.
Yeah, she talked about being really annoyed about that. She's like, he just calls me sweetheart. And but in a very strange way here, I think that helped Chris sell the lie that he didn't tell anything to Maddie, because Maddie went in saying, he called me, he said, listen, sweetie, blah, blah, blah. And then when Min went and asked Chris about what he said to Maddie, he said, I said, listen, sweetie. And she was like, that's what she said. Chris is probably telling the truth.
yeah. So at this point, it's working in his benefit.
I don't know about that. So Chris continues. He's like, you think they're going to tell you the truth? Listen, Min, they were in here the whole week. They came in here after Michael went on the block. They came in here and they said, I can't believe you didn't get rid of that bleep of shit. Like, bleep of shit? Did you mean to do that piece of bleep? Oh my God.
Yeah, I really hope they show that on the episode. I really hope they show that.
I was delirious at this point because 3 hours of roundtable, and I was just like, I just burst out laughing. This was so amazing. The bleep of shit.
The bleep of shit.
And I was like, you know what? Chris, I feel you. Like, I'm with you. For as somebody that is on their sleep schedule, it's not enough sleep and your brain doesn't work. I had a yogurt last night and I went and I put the yogurt cup in the sink and I went to throw away my spoon. Like that's where we're at mentally right now on this sleep schedule. So I get it. I get it, Chris.
Yeah, Chris, you know, your head's not there. We understand. But yeah, bleep of shit. That's an all timer right there.
you know what? Yeah, Chris Wiley, the game changer. He changes the game. Bleep of shit.
Was it plain yogurt?
Of course.
Oh, of course. Of course.
What do you take me for?
Nothing else would matter.
All right, so that's honestly, it wasn't even the best part of the night. The best part of the night is that after this conversation, Min goes and talks with Vanessa and Hira. Hira's talking about how he feels bad for those guys. You know, Michael got backdoored and now he's going to be going home. Min, though, they're so annoying. They keep talking about morals. This is Big Brother, and I can't believe he threw your name under the bus, Vanessa, because in the conversation between Michael and Kyle, he brought up Vanessa, and Kyle like completely blew up. Kyle was like, oh yeah, Vanessa hates me. Sure. Vanessa wants me gone. Isn't that right, Vanessa? And Vanessa's like, yeah, I hate you. And is like, oh, that's actually real, but he doesn't know. Min is like, he's like a drowning man trying to take everything with so sour. He's so bitter juror. They're bitter jurors. That's what they are. They don't think logically. You don't want them in jury. They have to go. He has to go. They're going to be bitter jurors. No way. I'm sorry. This is not a moralistic game. It's Big Brother. And they have to go. We can't have them on the jury. And I was just like, praise Min for everything. This is the best thing I've ever heard on the live feeds. I love her. And I cannot believe that she's actually identifying bitter jurors and being like, get them the F out of here. I love it. This was such an amazing moment. And it's not even over. She continues to say, like, they're bitter jurors. Hira says, I don't know. You have to look at it from their perspective, though, right? And she says, sure. But you don't want them on the jury like that. This is a game. I'm sorry. If you're a fan of the show, you don't come here for that. Anybody that came in here saying, oh, I want to play an honest game, they need to go. She says that right to Hira, who looks down at the floor. Because Hira is that guy that's saying, I want to play an honest game.
100%. He's that guy. And it's just so funny hearing her talk about bitter jurors, because I feel like in that position, She would totally be a bitter juror, in my opinion. Like, she has that personality that she's going to be a bitter juror. Like, if someone pisses her off or votes her out or doesn't give her her way, she could totally end up being a bitter juror. So it's just, it's so funny listening to her talk about this. And the fact that she went to Hira instead of playing the middle and everything like that. Oh, it's just, it was perfect.
Yeah, I think one of my favorite, like, one of the reasons this is such a great moment for me is that, like, when I'm looking at Michael versus Brooke, that is what I'm thinking about. Like, Michael is going to be so obnoxious on the jury. I don't want him to be there because of how he's talking about how, oh, I'm a good person and good people should play this game and you shouldn't lie. And I'm just like, I don't want this guy on the season. I don't want this guy on the jury. And Min is also saying that. She knows us. She knows what we want, guys.
Exactly. Well, we got to just hope that Queen Min will get a little bit further and get us the jury, because we need her. We need her there to be able to make the moves. That was, don't get me wrong, at the beginning of the season, I was not on the Min train. I could not stand her. But after watching her, especially the last few days, oh my gosh, she is completely turned around in my book. And I just want to see more of her going forward.
We need her on the jury. She needs to be the jury foreperson.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Oh, that's the perfect spot for her, for sure. could you imagine?
All right, so she ends up going back in and talking with Chris and Sue some more late into the night, and at this point they're talking about taking out the remaining evictors, you know, one by one, to get them all out. And so, you know, it does appear that Min is not quite as single-mindedly focused on Kyle as she was before. Granted, she's talking with Sue and Chris. She's not going to be as open to them about targeting Kyle as she is with other people. But this is definitely a change of pace for her. She hasn't been talking about targeting those people for a little while now. But she is, you know, she's mad at Maddie now. She's mad at Michael. And she's talking about how these are bitter jurors. We don't want them in our jury. And so, you know, this is a brand new start here for Min. She's got a whole horizon of opportunity.
Honestly, I think that she's not doing too bad right now. I think she actually has opened some spots up for her. She just needs someone like Angie to not get in charge this week, because if Angie somehow wins the HOH, I think it could be bad news for her.
Man, to think that if Vanessa had been able to get her way, Min would be on the block going home right now.
Yeah, exactly. If Vanessa got her way.
Thank God for Chris, I guess, in that regard. all right. So that's about what we have for you today. It was a crazy day. Lots of nonsense going down. Now, again, it is Wednesday. There is a whole day today. And obviously a portion of the day tomorrow where the vote can definitely still flip. Min was talking about this last night, but as I talked about, you're a bit sleep deprived. Your brain can go to funny places. She was in a funny place that night. If she talks with Maddie again and realizes that Chris really did rat her out and she's mad at Chris and believes Maddie, maybe she won't be as mad at them anymore, and she won't care as much about pissing Chris off if she flips the vote. Then she could maybe try and get the vote flip back together. Very much a possibility still. So do not count this vote as a given at all. There's still plenty of time, especially in this house. But there's still definitely a lot of things moving around. And I've been saying this all week that next week's HOH is really, I think, going to set the tone for the whole season as in terms of like where we go here. So plenty to talk about. I'll of course be back tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happens today on the Big Brother Canada 8 live feeds. There is an episode tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern. We will be doing a little bit of a recap tomorrow morning of tonight's episode before we get into the live feed update portion of the live feed update. So make sure you tune in for that. And then tomorrow night we'll have our eviction and we'll have a live eviction recap after the episode. That's on Thursday. And then plenty of stuff going down. Make sure you check out the Stockwatch. If you want to play, go to realitystockwatch.com and you can sign up there with a social media account and you can start playing. The window for trading, the trading window, will close Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern before any spoilers come out. So if you want to get your trades in, you can make as many trades as you want. You can buy, you can sell, and then buy again as many times as you want before the trading window closes at 4 p.m. Eastern on Thursday. I will probably do some kind of Twitch stream tomorrow during the day to talk about the stock watch and do some analysis and all of that. So you can check that out, twitch.tv/Taren Armstrong. But make sure you go to realitystockwatch.com and sign up and get playing, because it's a lot of fun stuff going on there. I think that's what we have for you. So, Bobby, where can we find you?
You can find me at Goodspeed Bobby on Twitter. Also, I will be at the Live Know-It-Alls tonight in LA. So if you want to come say hello to me, I'll be there. So my girlfriend and I will be showing up. So just look for the guy with the beard. And then also, I am actually working this season and going forward for all Big Brother seasons. I'll be working with Doug Pookie, who is actually a member or a patron of the podcast. And he got me on board with a programming insider, and so I'm going to be writing articles about Big Brother and Survivor 40 for them, for Big Brother Canada and Big Brother US. So definitely check that out at programminginsider.com. We're going to have an article up in the next about 20 minutes about where we're doing our Vegas rankings of what we think of these house guests, and basically giving them one, you know, like someone who we thought at the start of the season would be a 1 to 100 winner for men, and then someone who's like a 20 to 1 odds in Sheldon. So we're going to be giving those up today and posting that in about 20 to 30 minutes.
All right, there you go. So thank you once again for joining. You can, of course, find me on Twitter at Armstrong Taren. Again, make sure you check out all the stuff that I mentioned. And of course, also, I will be streaming tomorrow the Survivor update at around 5 p.m. Eastern with Matt Hoffman. We're going to be talking about tonight's episode of Survivor: Winners at War. Should be interesting. We'll update the Legacy Watch. So that'll be fun. All right. Thank you guys once more, and see you next time.